I can just get my left leg under my arm. That's no one else. Tell us, friend, huh?
This is the BBC Home Service. The soloist in that number was Frieda Minge, Bird Strangler.
Well said, Wallace Green State Home Service announcer. Shoes mended while he waked and all packed for ITA.
Ah, Philbert the Quandle.
Yuckaboo!
Is this true about you going to Hollywood, darling?
Yes, darling.
Oh.
I'm going to make a series of short cowboy films.
And what part will you be playing?
The short cowboy. I don't know where I came from.
I don't like it. I don't like it at all.
Nevertheless, it's time for the last highly esteemed Goon Show!
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, thank you.
The Goons conclude their season with a dramatic drama. So stand by to hear the story of a man with a foul habit. We give you...
Confessions of a Secret Cenopod Drinker.
My name is Ned Seagoon. Thank you, Sir Ian. Coxon, my melody. I had a tough life. Never had a father. Mother got me on the National Health. She had an obliging doctor, you know. As a child, I was very delicate. One blow from a steamroller would upset me for days. In the years Crimson, Scranson, and Tool, I fell a victim to drinking cenopod tea. In a basement of a club at East Acton, I obtained my supplies of the dreaded pods. In one corner, a colored band played foul, erotic music. What a den of sin! This particular night, I was to get my supply from an unknown stranger.
Aha, that was me, Count Fred Moriarty, international cenopod ace and head of the secret cenopod ring. Seagoon was to recognize me by a red carnation pinned to the tail of my shirt.
So that I would not be recognized, I took off my boots. Waitress! Oh, miss?
Yes?
Has an unknown stranger been looking for me?
No.
Thanks.
What?
Curse! The man was late.
At that very moment, I arrived in the room. He tried to attract my attention.
Have you got the pods?
Yes, but they're clearing up nicely, thanks.
The cenopods!
Yes. I have 2 ounces and handy 3-ton packets.
Give me them.
Wait, 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 wait. First, the money.
Here. 8 pence in 1-pound notes.
Zanks.
Zonks. With a trembling hand, I broke open the precious packet of cenopod tea. Hello?
Pardon me. The Confessions of a Secret Cenopod Drinker, Part 2, in which the basement is raided by the police.
Thank you. We've got to fly. The police are going to raid.
Sapristi, we must be in Part 2.
Yes.
Oh, it's me!
Quiet, everybody. This is the police raid.
In came 100 police, cunningly dressed in the uniform of plain clothes men.
Nobody move. Men address?
Yes.
100 beans on test.
Trapped. I immediately threw the cenopod away. Then I ran. I didn't stop running till I was a mile away. Pogson, my music. Played in a different key. To hell with the expense. My trouble now was how to get a fresh supply of the deadly cenopod leaves. I'd go mad without it. Wait! Of course! I'd get it on the National Health! That's it!
Good old Labour. I made my way to Harley Street and burst into a doctor's surgery. Doctor, I need a
prescription. How dare you burst in my surgery? Get a floor cloth and clean it up.
Help me. Help me. I'll make a clean breast of it. I'm an addict. I take 3 cups of Cenopod tea a day.
Cenopod, eh?
Yes, and I'm on the run.
I'm not surprised. Lay down on the operating table.
What are you going to do?
I don't know. I'll think of something. Say ah. Swallow that.
What was it?
Cigarette ash. Can't drop it on the carpet, you know. Now I must cut a square 12 by 12 out of your shirt.
Why?
So. I'm short of handkerchiefs.
Doctor, look. Get me the stuff. I must have it. Look, look, I've got money. £20 in £1 notes. I'll do anything, anything.
Yes. First an examination.
Yes.
Do you mind? Yes, these notes appear to be genuine.
Can you get me the stuff?
No, laddie, you've got to give it up.
What? You can't cut off my centipods like that.
Get up on the table again.
You're going to operate?
No, I want to sweep up. Must get away from my first aid class. We're learning to read thermometers tonight.
Look, but I need...
Shh, Neddy. You need rest, convalescence. Therefore, I'm sending you to the Seaview Rest Home, Greenacres.
Where's that?
Paddington. Max Gildray? Take him there.
Mr. Seagoon?
Yes?
The Confessions of a Secret Cenopod Drinker, Part 3.
Thank you.
Get up there. Get up.
As I made my way to the rest home for incurable Cenopod drinkers, the craving came on me. I slipped into a phone box and started to brew a pot of Senna. Hello?
Hello, is that you, Nugent?
No, this is...
This is Sabrina here. How's the new house coming along?
House? I'm in a phone box.
Oh, it'll only be temporary, though, won't it?
I'm afraid you've got the
I rang up to ask if Alice has had her operation yet.
I don't know anybody called
yes,
Alice.
Yes, you do. She went away to have something done.
Alice? I knew a Muriel Blunn who went away.
Muriel Blunn? I've never heard of her.
Never heard of her?
No, there's no Muriel Blunn here. You must have the wrong number.
I'm sorry.
I should think so, getting me out of bed like that. Goodbye.
Yes, I'm always getting wrong numbers. Hello?
Hello, Arnold.
No, I'm not Arnold.
Oh, well, will you tell him Alice has had her operation?
Ying Tong and Lipo.
Stop.
Now to drink me Cinnapod tea.
Hello, hello. What are you doing in this phone box, matey?
Oh, hello, Constable. I was just making a portable Zulu rest camp.
It's not allowed. What's your name, mate?
Neddy C. Arnold. Arnold Groins.
Arnold Groins? Arnold Groins, yes. Here, has your Alice had her operation yet?
Yes, it was triplets.
Triplets? I bet that shook her. She thought it was water on the knee.
How very merry for her.
Now then, I've got to ask you a few questions. Where do you live?
Over there. As he turned his head, I sprang out of the phone box into a Green Line coach. At St. Albans, I caught the 5:90 train to Edinburgh, then by plane to Manchester, onto the night sleep of a crew. There I disguised myself, caught a private hire car to Denham, ran 3 miles across ploughed fields until I finally reached my destination.
Just one more question, mate.
What?
Are you a murderer?
Murderer? Let me have a look at my diary. No, I'm not. Oh.
That's a pity, isn't it? You see, I gets promotion if I catch his murderers. You can't get them, you know. Goodbye, mate.
Goodbye, Constable. Phew, that was a close shave. If I'd have been a murderer, he'd have had me.
Yes, I would have, I tell you.
I say, look here. Will you kindly not interrupt my act while I'm trying to entertain these nice ladies and gentlemen here? Stand aside when I knock at the door of the rest home for Centerport Eddie. No!
You can't be too careful. They haven't caught that Jack the Ripper yet, buddy.
Rubbish, she hasn't been heard of for 67 years.
Ah, you're just waiting for the hue and cry to die down, and then...
And then what?
We'll all be murdered in our beds.
Open this door or I'll break my arm down.
What happened to that? Oh, dear, I've never had this trouble in London. Come in, wipe your feet, buddy. Wipe your boots as well, will you?
I want to see Mr. Crunt.
Henry?
Henry?
Henry? You're always upstairs when I want you, buddy. What? I've never had it that way before. Come on, buddy. What?
Excuse me. Excuse me.
This is not an excuse me.
Next up.
I want to be shown to my room. I must have peace and quiet.
Of course.
You
I understand. Yes. In here.
Thank you.
I'll just open the window. Your room overlooks the station.
Does it? Let me see. By heaven's sake, it does.
Would you like to wire it on, buddy?
By heaven's sake, shut that window! I was sent here for my peace of mind.
Were you? Well, it hasn't arrived yet. You know why?
No.
You can't get the wood, you know. You can't.
Mr. Seagoon?
Yes?
The Confessions of a Secret Centipod Drinker, Part 4, in which Neddy is given treatment.
Thank you.
That evening, as Wallace Greenslade has just forecast, I started my rest cure.
Eddie, this is where we give you complete silence.
Oh, that's what my doctor prescribed.
Oh, is it national health silence?
Yes.
Oh, dear. The national health silence is a bit noisy, you know. Why don't you have a private patient silence?
What does that sound like?
Sounds like this.
Jolly good.
Yeah.
I'll have some of that. Well, what size silences have you got?
Well, we've got the luxury one that goes from here to there.
That's about the size I want.
Oh, good. Yes. Good. Minnie, wrap up a full-length silence, please.
Ladies and gentlemen, in case you too are interested in purchasing a quantity of silence, here are a few samples. First, this. And this is for ladies. Or perhaps this is more in your line.
I don't like it. I don't like it at all.
Yes, Mr. Seeger, we've put all your silence in this tin trunk. Get in and try it.
Oh, thank you very much. I sat back in the darkness of the trunk to enjoy the silence. I sat there a while when suddenly I felt a hand on my shoulder.
Hello?
Eccles, what are you doing here?
I'm waiting for the big picture to start.
Picture, you long idiot. This isn't a cinema. This
is a... Chocolate, cigarettes, ices. Appliances.
This is the trailer.
From the studio that gave you Unmarried Uncle, we give you now Fred Wreck, Son of Oedipus. See Andrew Stewart as the voluptuous Bombay Bibby. See John Snagg in the Great Water Rates Trial. And see Mario Lanza with the singing voice of Ray Ellington.
Ladies and gentlemen, take your partners for a waltz.
What?
You trying to tell me this is a waltz? I'm sure there must...
Listen, fellas, I'm not that mad. This can't be a waltz.
Of course it's a waltz. Don't you know a waltz? You know, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. When you are in love, it's the loveliest night of the year.
You silly, twisted boy.
Well, how's about taking your partners for a tango?
Fellas think I'm stark raving mad, you know. They think I don't know the difference between a waltz and a tango.
Well, do you?
No. I can't tell a waltz from a tango. I never know what my feet are gonna do. I can't tell a waltz from a tango. Darling, when I dance with you, the music sounds inviting, dear, and you are so exciting, dear. But every time I hold you near, I seem to lose my sense of rhythm when your cheeks are close to mine. I can't tell a waltz from a tango. I never know what my feet are gonna do. I can't tell a waltz from a tango. Darling, when I dance with you, yaris ami ene, yachim bismachti nani ene. Take your partners for the lancers. No, I can't tell a waltz from a tango. I never know what my feet are going to do. No, I can't tell a waltz from a tango. Darling, when I dance with you. Yes! This is rubbish news to me. I don't know what you do to me. Won't you give some clue to me? I seem to lose my sense of rhythm when your cheeks are close to mine. I can't tell a waltz from a tango. I never know what my feet are going to do. Oh, I can't tell a waltz from a mambo. Oh! darling, when I dance with you. Yeah! And he's up on the ground, he's up on the ground, on the table she must go. I can't tell a waltz from a tango, I never know what my feet are gonna do. I can't tell a waltz from a tango, darling, when I dance with you. I know the dance steps old and new, I've even won a prize or two. But when I steal a kiss or two, I seem to lose my sense of rhythm when your cheeks are close to mine. Can't tell a waltz from a tango, I never know what my feet are gonna do. I can't tell a waltz from a tango, darling, when I dance with you. Darling, when I dance with you. Darling, when I dance with you.
Here comes the big picture.
For the first time on any screen, we present Confessions of a Secret Cinnapot Drinker, Part 5.
Hey, look! Ain't this an exciting picture?
Yeah, that trunk looks exactly like the one we're in. They're setting fire to it.
Yeah. Hey, is it my imagination or is it getting hot in here?
Excuse me. I jumped out of the trunk and to my horror discovered it was surrounded by African natives. So I jumped back in again.
Oh, here. You know what happened while you were gone?
What?
A little fella jumped out of that trunk and jumped back in again. What a good picture.
I don't believe it.
Hey, look. Hey, look. There's a big native there. He's opening the trunk. And oh, he's pulled the little fellow out again. And come. Wait, a seagull? Oh.
Hey, you next, call blimey, come out on me, not you.
Do as he says, Eccles. Those are clubs he's holding.
Clubs? I beat him. I got 3 spades and a diamond. Hey, anyone can win like that.
Come. Me take you see my chief.
Who's your chief?
I am the dreaded chief. Ain't a blue bottle from across the sea. Puts on cardboard witch doctor set, straps on feather-lined loincloth. Tickles.
Blue bottle. You.
Silence, you little white pudding. I'm no longer called Blue Bottles. Do you know what I'm called now?
No.
I'm now Kalamala Kalimagoo Kindings, the maker of the rain. I show you. Moves left, picks up watering can, sprinkles floor. Thank you, my tribe. Thank you. Thank you, my tribe. It was nothing, nothing. There'll be another matinee at 2:15.
Blue Bottle. How did you become their chief?
It was agony. They was going to dead me, you know. Suddenly I took my teeth out and I showed them round.
But you haven't got false teeth.
I know, it was agony.
What's going to happen to me?
Me no like them, you core blimey, white man. Bring stick that go bang. Kill them.
This is not stick that goes bang, this is umbrella. No go bang. Look, look, I point at my head to prove... Call a doctor!
Oh, I came as soon as I got your letter.
Help me, doctor. I'm in a cenopod delirium. I imagine I'm in Africa surrounded by natives.
Nonsense, utter nonsense. I'll cure you, lad. I'll soon cure you. Now just lay down out there in the tropical sun. Now put these bits of bread on your chest. Right? Cuss. Where are those blasted vultures? They're never here when you want them.
Vultures? Where?
Ah, here they are. Right, now get dismounted, lads, and start hovering around. The bread's on top and the meat's underneath, and a Merry Christmas.
Vultures on horseback? Merry Christmas? Yes, now I knew what... Not now, Pogson. Now I knew that... I was really in the last stages of a cenopod delirium. Blue Bottle.
Yes, my captain. thinks. I'm not really here. I'm just a figment of his tortured imagination.
Thinks. Is this true?
Thinks. He's thinking it is true.
Thinks. I wonder if he thinks that I thinks that this is thinks this is I thinks that this is true, I thinks.
Thinks. Merlin Munro. That's a nice thing. I'll think of that again. Thinks again. Can see Merlin in flimsy negligee. He's going into the shower bar. Thinks my school days are over. She's closed her door. No. Marilyn, may I come in?
No, you can't. Oh, it's good to be alive in here.
You rotten swine, Eccles. You have entered my thinks. Thinks. End of thinks routine. Prepares for big funny joke. Look. I put my head in the mangle. Allay! Not a sausage. X is left with flat head and loose teeth in handkerchief.
I don't like it. I don't like it at all.
Neither do I. I can't stand it. I'm going mad.
There, there, lad. You're only imagining all this.
Yes?
Now then. Where's your old wallet, eh?
In my boot. But why are you taking it?
I'm not taking it, laddie. Taking your wallet? Why, you're only imagining I'm taking it. Now, let me see. 1, 2, 3, 10, 11, 23. You're only imagining this, remember?
Of course.
24, 25, 28 pounds. Any more of this imagining money?
No.
Thanks. Imaginary taxi. To the best imaginary hotel.
Hey! Don't imaginary leave me! You can't leave me alone in this pitiless imaginary desert! Imaginary home!
Hello, mate. Have you done a murder yet?
Yes, very recently.
Now, what's all this noise in the trunk, Mr. Seagull?
You've had a full hour's silence in there, buddy.
The rest home. I'm back. It was all a dream.
Drink this.
Yes.
What was it?
Cenapod tea.
And I didn't like it. I'm cured. Right. Everyone out of that trunk for the finale. Come on. Right. Here we go. Come
right.
On.
All hold hands. Chickity snitch. All together.
We're riding along on the front of the wave.
Ships are on the sailing.
We're riding along on the crest of a wave, and the world is ours.
We're riding along on the crest of a wave, and the sun is in the sky.
Snip, son.
All our eyes on the distant horizon. Look out for passersby.
Show, a recorded program featuring Peter Sellers, Harry Secombe, and Spike Milligan with the Railington Quartet and Max Geldray. The orchestra was conducted by Wallace Stott, script by Eric Sykes and Spike Milligan, announcer Wallace Greenslade, the program produced by Peter Heaton.